This week, we'll continue our coverage of the Affordable Care Act from Families USA's Health Action 2014 conference with Citizen Action of Wisconsin Executive Director Robert Craig, author and former insurance executive Wendell Potter, Daily Beast contributing editor Eleanor Clift, and Young Invincibles senior policy analyst Christina Postolowski. But first, we've been joined by National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare President and CEO Max Richman. Max, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for inviting me again.
Max, we sit here today at Families USA's Health Action 2014 conference. Talk to me about where the National Committee stands on something like healthcare reform in this country.
Well, we supported the Affordable Care Act, and we continue to be strong advocates as it's being implemented, despite the somewhat rocky start. You know, our constituents are Medicare and Social Security beneficiaries. We have millions of members and supporters, and we did at the outset advocate expanding Medicare to cover everyone, Medicare for All, which would have probably been simpler and avoided some of the pitfalls and headaches. But that wasn't to be, and we did support the Affordable Care Act for many reasons, but principally for the improvements in the Medicare program that were provided. And they fall into a number of categories. Preventative care was added with no out-of-pocket costs, so that for the first time ever under the Medicare program, beneficiaries could receive colonoscopies, mammograms, diabetes screening with no out-of-pocket costs, which not only is better for long-term health care, but it's got to save money if problems are discovered early. The donut hole, the infamous donut hole created in the Medicare Modernization Act of 2003, will close and is closing, will completely disappear in a couple more years, so there'll be no out-of-pocket cost in that donut hole for beneficiaries. And 7 years was added to the life of the Medicare solvency. So the bottom line, the easiest way to explain it, I think, is under the Affordable Care Act, if you're in Medicare, you get more in terms of benefits and you pay less for those benefits.
And some of the things that you mentioned, Max, on that preventive care piece with colonoscopies and diabetes screenings, if you're in Medicare, those are the tests that you need at that time in your life, right?
Absolutely. And it was time to add those. It was past time. We think Medicare is a great program. Seniors love their Medicare. There are things that could be done to improve Medicare, which we are just beginning to work on. Expanded benefits. You know, you're right. All of those preventive treatments are important to seniors. So is dental care. So is vision care. So is hearing care for hearing loss. These are so important, and they're paid for out of pocket, which is, it consumes a huge amount of a Social Security beneficiary's Social Security check.
And of course, that Social Security check, as you and I have talked about many times, is the sole source of income for many, many recipients.
Oh, yeah. For a majority, it's 90% of their total income, and for some, it's 100%. So, you know, given that the average benefit of Social Security is $13,800, and out of that, you've got to pay your Medicare premium. You've got to pay all of these other health care costs, which are so important to your health, that I mentioned, dental, vision, hearing, and all of your basics. I mean, you're not living in the lap of luxury if you're living on or mostly on the Social Security check.
But they provide the recipients some dignity, some independence, and allows them to live that independent lifestyle when without those resources, that probably wouldn't be possible.
Yeah. It's a lifestyle that we all want. We all want to at least have the option of having that kind of independence. That's why it's so important that we prevent any reductions to Social Security. And, you know, I know you're very familiar with the chain CPI that was in the president's budget. I'm worried that it'll be in the budget that he sends up on March 4th. We met with key White House staff yesterday in the White House in the Roosevelt Room, and along with a number of other groups, and gave Gene Sperling a letter to give to the president, saying basically, we commend you for taking on the issue of income inequality in this country. And we agree with you that we need to reduce those disparities. But cutting Social Security with a chain CPI, having Medicare beneficiaries pay more out of their pocket, does just the opposite. So if we're going to work with you on inequality issues, we need to be on the same page on protecting Social Security and Medicare, and I think improving the programs. Medicare, as I pointed out, I think we're for Senator Harkin's and Congresswoman Linda Sanchez's bill to increase the minimum benefit by about $70 a month. That's a lot of money when you're on, you know, right on the edge. That's $70 that you can have a little room to breathe. Hopefully Gene Sperling will show him the letter.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, and we're here with Max Richmond, the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Max, for our listeners who may not be familiar or just new to joining us, talk to us about the chained CPI and what that really means and the ultimate consequences of that.
Well, anybody who's a Social Security beneficiary knows what a COLA is, a cost of living adjustment. That is the amount that your benefit increases annually, most years, not every year, and it's based on a calculation of inflation. So the purpose of the COLA is for the beneficiary to receive a check adjustment that will keep up with the cost of living each year, so the beneficiary doesn't fall behind just due to inflation. This formula that's used now is flawed. It does not take into account and put the proper weight on those goods and services that seniors rely on. It's a measure of inflation as it impacts the kinds of things wage earners rely on. And as we've been talking about, seniors rely on health care a lot more. They have less mobility to acquire certain goods and services in many cases. So the current formula is flawed, the consumer CPIW. So now we have coming from the White House an idea called the chain CPI, which is a different way to measure inflation. And it invokes the idea of substitution. In other words, if the price of one item goes up, rather than calculating that into the formula for inflation, it's assumed that the consumer will pick something else. Again, a flawed idea if it's being applied to a senior who has less choices to make, things that may be substitutable, if that's a word, for some wage earners may not be for seniors. So, and it produces a smaller COLA. I would be very skeptical of those arguing for it in believing that if, in fact, it was more accurate and was higher, that they would be supporting it. No coincidence that the chain CPI produces a smaller cost of living adjustment. And the argument that it's a minor adjustment, a technical adjustment, that's not going to work because it's too important, and it's whatever the COLA is, it's built into the base of the benefit and it's compounded, so it over time it has a larger impact. Ironically, the longer you live, the more you're going to be impacted by a change in the formula. So we're opposed to it. We favor, again, Senator Harkin's proposal to raise the minimum benefit also includes a different formula called the CPIE, Consumer Price Index Elderly, that will measure inflation based on the kinds of things seniors, services and goods that seniors rely on. That would give you a slightly higher COLA. By the same token, it's compounded, so it would add up and be significant over time.
Max, what is next? What's the future hold for Social Security and Medicare?
Well, I'm hoping that with Social Security, there'll be some momentum to expand the program, improve benefits. We're starting a campaign soon, and you're the first person in the media that is going to hear about it. It's called Let's Boost Social Security Now. And we're going to roll that out next month, and it will be a combination of the legislation that I've been talking about that expands and improves benefits, puts in proper perspective things like caregiver credits? Why should someone who has to leave the workforce, man or woman, to take care of a parent or a child be denied getting at least some credit during those years to qualify for the number of credits, 40 credits, to get Social Security benefits? So how can that be paid for? That's probably your next question. But I think we should look at the way the financing is structured. There is no reason that someone who is making $113,700 a year should pay the same Social Security as someone who's making $20 million a year. I mean, as long as we have a cap, we're going to have a problem getting sufficient revenue. And there are a lot of ways to look at the cap on wages subject to the payroll tax. It doesn't have to just be eliminated altogether. It can be adjusted. It can the percentages can be adjusted, but there's plenty of revenue to extend the program well beyond 2033 and to provide improvements.
And so then what become the biggest challenges to making improvements to the program?
Getting the political support to bring in some more revenue, because unless you have the revenue, if you expand the benefits, you're going to reduce the solvency years unless you can bring in more revenue. And I'm not talking about raising the retirement age. We're opposed to that. Reducing benefits, whether it's chain CPI or otherwise. I'm reminded of the Business Roundtable, who supports Social Security reform based on raising the age and cutting the benefits. And one member of the executive committee, I did a little research of the Business Roundtable, made $52 million in wages last year. So this man reached the cap, stopped paying Social Security after he finished lunch on New Year's Day. Now, that's not fair.
Max Richmond, President and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Max, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for coming by and joining us.
Thank you, Jason.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. I'm your host, Jason Fornicola, and up next, we'll continue from Families USA's Health Action 2014 conference with Citizen Action of Wisconsin Executive Director Robert Craig.